Welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the official podcast of everythingaction.com. Hello and welcome to the Everything Action Cast, the podcast for June 28th, 2021. I'm your host, Zach. Joining us, we have Chris.
Hello.
And I'll dive right in. We have a bunch of stuff to talk about this week. And we'll kick things off with some trailers. We got the first show this week for Don't Breathe 2, which I think has been involved for a little bit. When did Don't Breathe come out? Like, at least 2 years ago or 3 years ago or more?
At least.
5 years ago? Oh, it was 2016, yeah, so 5 years ago.
Jeez, I kind of remember it more recent, but...
Yeah. Yeah, the first one sort of set up a sequel because, like, Stephen Lang was still, I suppose, the first one, like, he was still, like, out there. But then this new one is, seems like kind of weird because now it's, like, Stephen Lang, who's the villain of the first movie, is now, like, the hero taking on, like, these, like, thugs who, like, kidnap his, like, adopted daughter or, like, some girl that, like, lives with him now. Which I hope he didn't succeed in like his like horrible horrific plan of forcing women to like
have his children.
Yeah, impregnating with turkey basters. Like that's like.
I think it is. I think it's supposed to imply that this is one of them that like stuck around.
That he finally succeeded and like he got like a fake daughter.
Like yeah, like this is like. I forgot, like, why he did it. Didn't, like, his son die or something?
His daughter was killed by a drunk driver. And then, so then he... And then he kidnapped the drunk driver, who's, like, this, like, rich woman. And, like, put her in his basement. And then was, like, inseminated her with a turkey baster of his... And then, like, the kids who broke into his house in the first movie. That's what they, like, Jane Levy and then, like, find, like, this woman and then, like, pregnant in the basement, like, chained up.
Oh, I mean, like, it's, he's been doing this for, I don't know, a while, right?
Isn't that the point? Is that I guess so, yeah.
And eventually it's just karma coming back to him, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe there's gonna be some sort of twist where, like, he gets his comeuppance or something. It's, like his, like, fake, his, like, new, his, like, quote-unquote daughter or whatever, or, like, this, like, his girl, like, ward or whatever, like... finds out the truth about him or something, but it's really weird that like he's like rewarded. It's like rewarding him for like his horrific actions in the first movie.
Yeah, but I mean, it seems like he's not going out silently. He's definitely going to mess with his group of bandits.
A group of thugs break into his house, his new house, I guess, because he moved somewhere else. Kidnap his daughter or whatever she is, and then he like gears up and like heads out to like take them down and get her back,
which is cool. But I mean, on paper you're rooting for essentially like everyone that's bad except for maybe the daughter.
Yeah,
the questionable daughter, granddaughter. I mean, I'm interested because it's a nice reversal. It's usually horror movies get to that third movie where the villain is now the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
It skipped that chapter. Did you like the first Get Out?
You mean Don't Breathe?
That's it.
Get Out, Don't Breathe, you call it either or. Yeah, I said the first one was good. So, I mean, I'm curious about this one. And Fede Alvarez, who directed the first one, co-wrote this one, but he didn't direct this one because I think he's working on. Is he working on like the? Oh no, he's not working on the new Evil Dead. Like he's working on. I think he's working on some other movie that like. I think he's like rebooting Texas Chainsaw Massacre or something, or like. Story by credit for the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie is, but he covered this one, and Roto Sayegu is the director of this new one, who kind of, he co-wrote, like, the Evil Dead remake that Faye Alvarez directed, and then he produced Don't Breathe. But this is gonna be his, like, feature film debut, so.
Oh, I mean, he's at least been on it. Like, it seems like the people working on this are, like, you know, somewhat connected to the original source, so it's not just, like, a total, like, studio takeover.
Mm-hmm. And Sam Raimi's back as a producer as well, so, because he was a producer on the first one.
Was he? I kind of forgot that.
Mm-hmm. That was a big selling point. The first one was, like, it was, like, Sam Raimi produced it. And it's from the director of the Evil Dead remake. But yeah, W2 is going to be August 13th this summer, so you can check that out in theaters. And then we also got a trailer this week for a new or upcoming Amazon Prime original movie. So we're getting, actually, like, if you're hearing this, like, the Tomorrow War is out. But at the end of this month of July, we're getting another kind of summer blockbuster Prime Video movie, Jolt, which stars Kate Beckinsale. And she is a bouncer who has, like, homicidal rage that she has to control with, like, electric shocks.
That's what it is? Because I thought it was just not homicidal. I thought it was just, like, she just has an anger issue.
It's like extreme anger. Like, if she didn't control it, she would, like, murder everyone.
But it's like she's super trained for that anger.
Well, it seems like she finally is letting it, like, because, like, her boyfriend, who looks at, I believe he's played by Jai Courtney, like, so he's not gonna survive long in this movie. Like, he gets murdered, and so then she's on, like, a quest for revenge to take down, like, whoever was responsible for it, and then, like, basically, like, ignores her shocks and is, like, just, like, laying out, like, her, like, crazy anger, like, get unleashed. It definitely has, it's like Crank mixed with, like, John Wick, because it has, like, the John Wick, like, visual style and action stuff, but it's got, like, it's like a crazy, like, Crank premise.
Yeah, it's very Crank-like. That's immediately what I thought when the jolting was, like, it's not just, like, one jolt. It's, like, multiple jolts that she's ramping up, I guess.
Yeah, she's been, like, ramping up. Like, it takes more and more, like, shock to, like, like keep her from, like, going crazy. But, yeah, it looks cool. Like, it looks like a fun, like, Kate Beckinsale action movie, and it's got Stanley Tucci's in it, and Bobby Cannavale, and Laverne Cox, and Susan Sarandon, and David Bradley from, like, Game of Thrones and Harry Potter looks like he's, like, the main, like, he's, like, the guy behind everything, maybe, or something.
He's definitely, like, the rich guy funding it, but he's definitely, like, in a fight. He's just, like, a punch or a shot, and that's it.
Yeah.
And all because it seems like they ripped off the sets from John Wick. And when I saw, like, his shot of his penthouse, his glass penthouse, that is such a John Wick-esque thing to do.
That, yeah, everyone's doing, like, the, like, very, like artificial lighting. Like, it's all, like everything's, like, purples or reds or blues or, it's, like, it's all, like, everything's in, like, nightclubs now and stuff, so. Because of John Wick, so. That's going to be July 23rd on Prime Video, so you can check that out when that comes out. And then last trailer this week is that we got the first trailer for The Many Saints of Newark, which is the Sopranos prequel that's set in, like, the 60s. Like, I think it's, like, 1967 is when it's set. So it's a young Tony Soprano kind of as he first gets into, like, the world of organized crime, getting pulled in by, like, his uncle. And so, yeah, there's like, younger versions of a bunch of the Sopranos characters. There's, like, new characters who maybe were, like, referenced in the show, but you've never seen them before until now. And, yeah, crazy all-star cast for this one. So Michael Gandolfini, who is James Gandolfini's son, is playing young Tony Soprano. And then you've got, like, John Bernthal's in it, and Corey Stoll, and Vera Farmiga, Leslie Odom Jr., Billy Magnussen, Ray Liotta. Because, of course, it's just because Leo has to be in it. I feel like it's like some sort of contractual, like, are you doing a gangster movie? Like, Reloaded has to be in this. And David Chase, who created Sopranos, co-wrote the script. He produced it. And then Alan Taylor, who directed Thor: The Dark World, and along with a bunch of like Game of Thrones and like an Emmy Award-winning episode of Sopranos, is directing the movie. So,
I mean, it looks good. It definitely has that Sopranos vibe, but because it's got like a prequel-esque to it, you know, it's definitely like I don't know if you should watch all Sopranos before you get to that, or like a good amount of Sopranos.
Yeah, I wonder how, like, if you could just go, like, if anyone can go in cold to this, like, if you've never seen Sopranos before, if it was just standalone as like a solid like mafia crime movie. Or if you need Sopranos knowledge to like be able to like watch it.
I mean, a lot of people have seen The Sopranos. It's like one of those like phenomenon shows that like everyone, there's like one or two references everywhere.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sure a bunch of people will be marathoning it before this movie comes out. So mm-hmm. And yeah, it's gonna be October 1st. And it'll be in theaters and also HBO Max, so it's another one of those HBO Max hybrid movies. And so moving on to some other news, we got some. Actually, we're speaking of John Wick earlier. We got some John Wick 4 casting news, which continues to just add more and more awesome people to its ranks. So we found out this week that Scott Adkins is going to be in John Wick 4. Which is pretty awesome. Like a Scott Adkins Keanu Reeves fight for John Wick 4. Oh man.
I got hopes. They both know how to look good in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if they're gonna have history or it's gonna be a completely new person. Like, you know, if John Wick's like never met this person before, or it's like, oh, this is someone I've known.
Well, I feel like in the world of like John Wick, like everyone knows everyone.
Mm-hmm. Like, personally, if they know.
Yeah. And yeah, so Scott Adkins is the new latest addition. We also a month or two ago, we learned like Donnie Yen is going to be in it. I think recently like Hiroyuki Sanada also joined the cast. So yeah, John Wick 4 is going to be, if they had any more like anyone else, it's going to be like the greatest action we've ever made. I feel like they need to go like an Expendables route and just add like Dolph Lundgren or something, or just add some sort of like old school, like get Arnold in there or something.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's not like the Expendables. It just slowly evolves into John Wick like assembling a team of people.
Yeah. It seems like they're kind of going leaning more to like martial arts folks.
Yeah, just get Cynthia Rothrock in there.
Yes. I don't think like Iko Uwe has been in them yet. Like I think some of the other guys from the raid were in it, but not Iko wasn't in it yet.
You know, I wouldn't put it past that to be an option.
Yeah, like Michael Jai White or something.
I'm really surprised Michael Jai White has not been in it, because he'll just be in movies.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess we'll see if any other awesome people get added to John Wick 4. I think they just started shooting it this week as we're recording this, so maybe we'll probably get some more casting news maybe soon. And then that's going to be May 27th next year, so definitely super excited for that one. And some other news week. Last week we talked about Transformers Rise of the Beast, which is the new next movie in the Transformers franchise, which is going to add the Beast Wars characters to the like live action Transformers universe. And we found out this, I think it was end of last week, that Ron Perlman is going to be voicing Optimus Primal. Which that seems like a solid, like, Ron Perlman is great in everything, so.
It is. It's just weird without Peter Cullen, or Peter Cullen after a while.
Peter Cullen is voicing Optimus Prime, Like, this Retro is playing Optimus Primal.
Primal, I know. But I think Protocolor also did Optimus Primal, too.
No, he didn't. There's a different. No. I think he might have, like, when they found Optimus in, like, the arc in Beast Wars, he might have, like, had a guest voice on Beast Wars, but it was definitely not Peter Cullen it was Gary Chalk was the actor who voiced Optimus Primal for the show. But, Ron Perlman, I could definitely voice a robotic gorilla, probably. So, and he's got a good iconic voice. And I believe, and that movie is coming out, I believe, late next, like, sometime next, yeah, in June next year. So that one's coming up next summer as well. And yeah, hopefully, I'm cautiously optimistic about that one just because of Bumblebee, because Bumblebee was like the best Transformers movie so far. And if this one's like kind of falling in the footsteps of that one, then I'm very cautiously optimistic.
Okay, like I feel like they've gotten the formula done, like a new formula done. So I'm not too worried about the Transformers series like going off the rails.
Yeah, it's like Michael Bay is kind of just like off the side, like he's just producing it, but like it's just like the sort of like just a token producer thing. I imagine it has pretty much nothing to do with like these new ones. And yeah, Bumblebee rebooted it and like gave everyone like what they actually wanted, which was like G1 Transformers in live action or CG or whatever. But like yeah, like the actual like characters that you like recognize and wanted for the entire time. So yeah, hopefully they continue that, and then hopefully they also, because Optimus was only in it for like a couple minutes in Bumblebee, but hopefully since he's like the main character of this new one, hopefully it's also more like the like old school Optimus, not like the like a murderous psychopath.
Oh, he's evolved into that.
Oh my god, yeah, especially starting in like Age of Extinction, and like, well actually I think Dark of the Moon was kind of like the big one where like. Megatron like surrendered to him and like he like still like beheaded him.
Yeah, like, he was like, not this time.
Yeah. And then it just like went off the rails in 4 and 5, like four where he was just like threatening to murder the Dinobots if they don't help. And then 5 with the whole like he was like evil for 10 minutes thing.
So I mean, I wonder how they're gonna do this Beast War tale where it is the dawn of like civilization that they've been there and buried in the mountain.
I believe it's like it's like the Beast Wars Transformers have been like kind of like, because like a bunch of them are like rusting and stuff. So it's like, or they have like kind of like, I think they're gonna be like older, like they've been like hiding or somewhere on Earth, somewhere hidden for like thousands of years. Now they have reappeared.
Yeah, so that's what I can't figure out. I was like, oh. Are they gonna do that thing where Gen 1 they crashed on an Earth for like a millennia, mm-hmm. and then Beast Wars happens, and then they do that like merger where they also are able to go in the future now, like Beast War era goes in the future where they kind of hang out in Cybertron and they still have their beast powers. Do you remember that? It was like the like second version of Beast Wars.
Are you talking about Beast Machines?
Beast Machines, that's it.
Where they went back to Cybertron and then like they turned it into, back into like an organic planet.
That's what happened?
Yeah, that was like the end. Like they went to like the core of Cybertron, and then they found out that like Cybertron actually was like organic and had like plants and stuff on it before, and then they did like Optimus Primal did something to like. Shit, like he like sacrificed himself or something to like make the planet like organic again. And there's some way through like they got back like the Maxwells got back to Cybertron, but then Megatron had taken over it somehow. Like he like beat them back to Cybertron and took it over. And you say like an army of drones. Yeah, I don't think they're gonna go into like the like that deep of lore for this movie. They're just going to introduce like a couple of like the Beast Wars characters and be like, oh, this the robot monkey. It's like a robot monkey and a robot like rhino. And then maybe if it does well, we'll get a full like Beast Wars movie or something.
Right.
But yeah, we'll see next summer when that comes out, and definitely curious to see like a trailer for that whenever the trailer drops and see you what the Beast Wars characters look like and what's going on with that. So we also got some news this week or this past week that the book De-Evolution, which is written by Max Brooks, who wrote World War Z, is getting a movie. And so this was basically like World War Z, but it was for Bigfoot. Because it was basically like, it was like this like sort of oral history of like this like Bigfoot attack that like happened like across like this like in like the woods in the small town in like the Pacific Northwest. And so it was basically like different journal entries and like different like interviews of people who like survived like this like this like Sasquatch, like the Rainier Sasquatch massacre. So yeah, so it's gonna be a Bigfoot monster killing a bunch of people movie. Because World War Z was not like the book where it was like multiple perspectives. So I'm gonna guess like this De-Evolution movie is probably not gonna be like the book either. It's gonna be like from like different perspectives. It'll probably just be like a straightforward like we got this Bigfoot's like murdering people and we gotta stop it. And it's gonna be a Legendary joint. Legendary picked up the rights to the book. And it's going to be sometime soon. I have the book. I haven't read it yet, though. But I bought it pretty much because World War Z is like one of my favorite books of all time. So it was the big follow to World War Z from Max Brooks. I'm just like, all right, grab this like pretty much sight unseen. So I'll probably definitely read it before the movie comes out. Have you heard anything about like that World War Z2 movie that was David Fincher supposed to be like making World War Z2?
Oh my god, I can't remember. That thing was so lost in the shuffle of rights, and
like,
then
the last World War Z thing that happened was like the game.
Yeah, which didn't do that great. It was a fun premise, but it just was like in a bad time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, apparently the sequel was canceled in February 2019 because of the budget issues. So
that makes sense.
Yeah, the movie wasn't bad, but it was definitely after reading the book and like how good the book was, it was definitely kind of disappointing. Just like, oh, we're just following this one dude, and we're not gonna see like a bunch of it should have been like an anthology of just like here's like different people dealing with the zombies. That's what the book was, basically. Anyway, De-Evolution, hopefully we'll hear more soon, and hopefully if I read the book, I'll bring it up and I'll let you know how it is on the show before the movie comes out, or when the movie comes out.
Gotcha.
So, last news for this week is that we learned that Blumhouse is going ahead with a remake of The Exorcist, which probably not a very popular decision from most fans, because like it's like actually like one of the like greatest horror movies ever made, or like just one of the best movies ever made, period. So like probably no one wants like a remake of it. But Blumhouse is going ahead with it, and David Gordon Green is in talks to direct, so he's got like picking up from like his Halloween remakes or reboots or whatever the hell those are, reboot calls. He's in talks to like do this like new Exorcist movie.
it seems kind of crazy because it's one of those things where do you want to touch it if you, you know, if you do it right, it's a screen by screen, it's shot by shot, right? Mm-hmm. And if you try to do something different, a lot of people are getting mad about that too. You know, like, I don't know. I feel like Exorcist is not a movie you want to, like, remake. So I'm in that category. So I'm like, as exciting as that is, I'm like, eh.
It sounds like, from what Jason Blum is saying, it sounds like it might be, like, Halloween style, where, like, it's, like, the first, it's like a, like, this new one would be, like, a direct sequel to the first one, and then it would ignore all the problems. It's just, like, erase all the sequels.
They're skipping? Ooh.
But there's no official like story details, so that's just like a guess for people. But like, I guess I mean it would make sense if like if David were, like because that's what David Gordon Green did with Halloween. So if you're having him do Exorcist movie, then probably just do the same thing he did with that. Because I think people would be, if you did that, like I think people would be less mad than if you did like totally reboot. Like this is a like it's like. We're rebooting redoing the first movie. Like we have like it's like a new, like we're doing Reagan again, and like we're doing everything with the first movie again. Because then you just get like a like very like you get like, you get like the Nightmare on Elm Street remake or something. It's just like it's like a pale imitation of like the original.
Right.
But if you leave the first one, then like do like your a new sequel. And then you do like your own thing with it, then that'd be more interesting and maybe like more accepted than a straight remake. But yeah, I guess we'll find out soon, maybe if what's going on with this. Apparently, I stopped watching a couple episodes in, but apparently like. A bunch of people like really loved like that like Fox show, like the Fox Exorcist show.
I kind of forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, it was like I think it was like two seasons maybe. And as far as the sequels too, like Exorcist 3 is probably like all like the best of the sequels.
Three,
because three is like the weird like. It's basically like, it's like a serial killer movie, but then it just happens to have like demons in it. And that, like Exorcist 2 is just weird. Then you have like Dominion, you have like both like the dueling prequels, like Dominion and then Exorcist the Beginning. Like they're like two different movies, but it's like the same story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so get ready for some new demonic possession stuff, and I mean Blumhouse, they're either like really good or really bad. So this is more toward the good side of Blumhouse. And so that's pretty much for news this week. So why don't we jump into show and tell? And Chris, did you see anything over the last week or so here?
Just like I'm still watching Billions. That's just been my mainstay. And then I've been watching Loki.
Mm-hmm.
So caught up on that. Did you catch up on Loki?
Oh yeah, I watch it as soon as I get home from work on Wednesdays. I watch it.
Gotcha. We can talk about that. Yeah, the
episode four.
Yeah, episode four. You know, all the theories that people had about episode three out the window. Just a simple explanation of everything. And the community feedback about why and stuff is pretty hilarious. I'm not sure if you've been paying attention, like kind of seeing the internet kind of feedback or other people's comments about it. But I instantly knew it was like, this is weird. It's Disney's. It's a weird comment made by Disney, I think. About the power of like self-love, I guess, or is Disney getting on the train, or Marvel and Disney getting on the train of like, you know, step sibling porn? I feel like it's one of those things now. It's like, Yeah, it's like, oh, so in the episode.
If it's yourself, it's not really incest, is it?
I think it is. It's like, this is you, but a female. I feel like if it's you, a clone of you, it's like less, but it's not quite a clone. Either way, it's just weird. I mean, I'm for it in the sense where I'm like, yeah, it makes sense where Loki likes Loki.
Mm-hmm.
But in the show's premise, they really build it up to be something kind of like powerful and weird. And I'm just like, I wish there was an explanation that wasn't just, you know, then if they ever get together, it like will destroy the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like that's what they're pointing at. And I think that's hilarious as like a subplot.
Yeah.
Where it's like, what if Loki hooked up with Loki and then made like a Loki?
The ultimate Loki.
An ultimate Loki, yeah.
Yeah.
So everything else was great. It's sad to not see jet skis.
Yeah. The timekeepers are weird, like Disney animatronics.
Kind of this bizarre choice where they just kind of let the robots be timekeepers when the timekeepers aren't there.
Well, I wonder if that's all just like there was like never a timekeeper. Like I wonder if this is like more like leaning more toward like the like thing of like, oh, is Kang like the Kang just make these like robots, but he's the one actually controlling everything. Mm-hmm. And like Ravonna Renslayer is like the only one that like actually knows the truth, and that's why she's like killing everyone or like purging everyone, or whatever like the stick is. But then it turns out like it doesn't really kill them; it's like transports them to like some other dimension or something. Maybe
there's a theory they go to Battle World.
Oh, maybe. do you think they bring Battle World in? That'd be crazy.
I mean, right now they might not say it's Battle World, or maybe it is because Kang, the Conqueror, like runs Battle World.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice way of like showing that basically he lets the variants fight each other so he can like build an army of like the best.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a nice thing because it's like really cool, but I'm like, oh shit, there's only like two episodes left, so
yeah,
how are we gonna explore this avenue? Because it's really interesting.
And like there's like the end of like the League of Lokis, including like Richard E. Grant is like comic Loki.
Yep, I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm. And like alligator Loki, just an alligator with like Loki horns. Like, and I wonder, like, does everyone get sent to the same place, or does people get sent to like the different places? Where did Owen Wilson get transported to? They get transported to the same places. So yeah. It just tells Owen Wilson characters.
That'd be hilarious.
Wow.
This is what I sound like, holy shit. But the timekeeper prison systems are kind of fun. They're like geared to be your personal problems.
Oh yeah, it's also great to have Lady Sif back too. Like Jamie Alexander can finally be back because Blindspot's over. Because I think that was like the main reason like she never showed back up was like, oh, I'm shooting Blind Spot for however like 8 years, however long that show was on.
She couldn't like dress come in at all. Like, how busy was her goddamn schedule?
I don't know. They traveled like to like different countries and stuff for that show somehow. So. But yeah, I guess she has free time now, I guess, so she can come back as Lady Sif. But yeah, still Loki's still great. Can't wait for the next episode. And I think still like of the three shows so far, I think it's my favorite one still. Unless like bombs horribly at the end of the final episode. But
There's always a chance.
But yeah, if it nails landing, I think it's gonna be my favorite one so far. So, anything else, Chris?
I started to watch The Ice Road, but I got like too busy. So,
Well, I saw it, so I can talk about it.
Okay, we can finish that because I just started the beginning where, like, you know, the accident and then the corruption begins. But then I just couldn't finish it in time. But yeah, tell me, like, is it worth finishing it?
Yeah, I thought it's a solid, like, of the recent Liam Neeson movies. I think it's probably like one of it, like the best one. Because I feel like it, like, you get like the, like, Liam Neeson stuff you want, like him, like, growling and, like, and, like, being a badass and stuff, but, like, it's not as physically demanding on him because he's behind the wheel of a truck for most of it, so he's around behind the wheel of a truck, so it's not, he doesn't have to, like do, like, fights or anything. And it's definitely, it has some of that, like, Black Dog energy, like some of the crazy, like, truck stunts and stuff, like, just, like, there's a lot, like, toward the end, there's a lot, like, drifting with, like, trucks and stuff, they're, like, drifting around, like, this, like, mountain pass, and, like, going around corners, and, like, truck-to-truck fights. But also, it feels like it's kind of in, like, this limbo of, like, it's not all the way crazy like Black Dog, but then it's not, like, there's a movie in the 70s called Sorcerer that was directed by William Friedkin, speaking of, like, The Exorcist. But that was like a, that was, it had a kind of a similar, like, it was like these guys have to drive do like this, like, dangerous mission, but that was in, like, the jungle of, like, the Amazon jungle, like, you'd deliver, like, nitroglycerin. But that movie was, like, Sorcerer was, like, all, there's no villains, the villain was, like, nature. Uh-huh. So it feels kind of, like, stuck between those two, where it's, like, there is some, like, oh, nature's the villain, but there's also, like, Ice Road has, like, but there's actually, like, a bad guy trying to, like, murder them all. So I kind of wish it, like, leaned a little bit more toward either of those. Like, if it was just, like, we have to survive this trip and, like, nature's the villain, we have to, like, figure out ways to, like, get out of these, like dangerous situations, like, I feel like that would have been fun and self-thrilling. But, like, if it leaned all the way toward, like, Black Dog, or just, like, having, like, machine gun fights on the and then, like, across big rigs and stuff, then that'd also be fun.
Yeah, but you try to do both, and it's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's stuff between both. It doesn't really do either one. It's sort of like, so it's sort of like, you know, like this weird, like, limbo state. But still, I thought it was still pretty fun. Definitely, like, there's, like, yeah, a lot of fun, like truck stuff, and there's definitely some fun, like, MacGyvering, like, trying to, like, MacGyver their way out of, like, situations where, like, it's like, oh, this truck is, like, stuck, like, front of the wheels are stuck in the ice, we have to, like, figure out a way to, like, how do we, like, winch ourselves out of this, like, the ice road. And there's like the cool stuff with, like, apparently it's real, like, there's, like pressure waves where, like, if you drive too fast in the ice, like, the ice, like, starts, like, developing these, like, reverberations, and, like, you could explode the ice in front of you and just, like, go right straight into the lake and die.
See, like, it really is, if the movie was just man versus nature, I think it would have been better.
Yeah, that's what
got distracted with the crazy, you know, business.
Yeah.
Wanted to do illegal ice, like, illegal drilling.
Yeah, I think if it picked a direction and it picked that direction, I think it would have been a much stronger movie. Like, it was just them trying to, like, deal with, like, the ice road and, like, the, like this, like, all these, like, weird, like, dangerous situations, it would have been, like, a cool thriller. But, and because the bad guy stuff is, like, starts getting ridiculous toward the end. Like, it's just, like, the bad guy is just, like, it's, like, just keeps coming back and, like, just keeps doing more and more ridiculous things to try to stop them. And it's just, yeah, it's just, it kind of gets ridiculous toward the end. And also, like, all this, like, they keep coming back to, like, the miners too. It's just like that adds, like, nothing. It just, like, adds, like, like, it just, like, completely, like, kills the momentum. Yeah, they keep going back to the miners for, like, and you don't really learn, like, you learn, like, one plot point of, like, oh, what, like, why the company, like, why the, like, cave-in happened. But I feel like you could, like, reveal that in the end. It's like the big, like, oh, like, this, like, oh, by the way, like, the company did this, and that's why, like, this cave-in happened. But they keep coming back to it. It's just like. We don't need this. Like, we're going to see this. Like, I guess because you paid Halt McCallany to be in this movie, I guess you need, like, have scenes with him in it. But
yeah, I mean, I understand. Just give me, like, oh, it's cheaper to kill everyone than to save everyone. But then it's like they want to do it because if any of the miners, like, live, they'll, like, talk about what they've done, which is,
yeah, like, it's basically like the company, like, bypassed, like, safety regulations. So, like, this, like, methane gas built up and then caused an explosion. And so if the miners got out, if the miners got out and like told like whatever like the Canadian government or whatever that like the mine company like forced them to like ignore safety procedures, then they'd be done. But then this oil company just like happens to have like an assassin or like this crazy like saboteur like assassin guy like on payroll.
Yeah, weird retainer.
Yeah.
And then it's like a team of them, and they're really dedicated to like do whatever they need to do.
Oh man, yeah, I am super dedicated to like this like oil company and like or like this mining company and like I will not stop.
I also feel like if they can plan this ambush better, because they do it like I'm assuming. They didn't have like we should probably post another crew before they get to the end, right? It was just one crew trying to stop the other crew.
Well, it's the one guy, or the one guy kind of like is like, oh, I'm an insurance adjuster and I'm gonna ride with you guys, and it turns out he's like the saboteur
guy. There wasn't any other backup, no.
Until way later, like when they it's like, oh well, I need backup now because like there's still these like truckers are still coming, so I need like we gotta like stop them now. And so the mining executive sends like a team of like goons like snowmobiles and stuff to like help the main guy. And then they're trying to do like all this like elaborate like we're gonna make it look like a crash. And like we're gonna like and like I'm gonna like blow up the other truck and like blow up the truck and then like the thing that kind of like sets off the whole like thing is like he sabotaged Lawrence Fishburne's truck so the engine dies and then, like his truck like kind of falls through the ice and then he gets like dragged into the ice because like he's trying to like winch himself out and it's like it's caught in the winch and like he like gets dragged into the ice. And then like the like this like saboteur assassin guy like then like tries to like take out the other two trucks. But yeah, it's if you're on Netflix and you're looking for something like just a solid fun action movie, it's fine. It's definitely one of the better like recently Neeson movies. Which, because one of the other things I watched this week is I also saw, for Liam Neeson, I saw The Marksman, which came out, I think it came out in, like, January this year. And that was, it was fine, but that's definitely not a full-on, like, action movie. It's more like a thriller, leans more toward, like, thriller, because, like, there is, like, short action sequences in it, but, like, it's mostly just, like, this, like, it felt a lot like, have you ever heard of or seen, like, the John Wayne movie, The Shootist, Chris? It was, like John Wayne's, like, last movie before he, like, died of cancer or whatever he had.
Yeah. I've heard of it. I've never seen it. It's really, like, sweet movie, but it's, like, you know, sad. It's real.
Because he's, like, a legendary gunslinger, and then he's, like, dying of cancer, so he's kind of, like, setting up this, like, one last big shootout.
Just because he just wanted to feel again, like to. It's like Logan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ron Howard's in it for some reason.
He's a little boy that's like, yeah. You're my favorite cowboy. Because it's like a metaphor for the dying of the West.
Yeah. So Marksman, I feel like the Marksman kind of has that sort of vibe. Like, it's weird because, the Marksman kind of feels like it's like, oh, this is like Liam Neeson's like last action movie, and then he's gonna retire from action. But it's like The Iceman Road just came out, so it's like, all right, I guess it's not the last movie, because he's like this rancher who lives on like right on the border of like I think it's like Arizona and Mexico, and this woman and her son are like trying to escape from like the cartel because the woman's like brother stole a bunch of money from the cartels, and then they're fleeing across the border, and the cartel's after them, and so the mother gets like killed by the cartel, but then is dying and tells the news help my son get him to our family in Chicago, And so, yeah, so it's, like, Liam Neeson and, like, this kid are, just, like, traveling across the country trying to get to Chicago. That's, like, a lot. Like, them, like, bonding is, like, those, like, 80% of the movie. And there's, like, short little, like, bursts of, like, the cartel catching up to them, or, like, Liam Neeson, like, fighting someone and then, like, them, like, getting away or something. So, if you're, yeah, if you're going into the Marksman, like, expecting, like, some, like a crazy, like, Taken style or something, it's definitely not that. but yeah, I mean, it's solid. There's some good stuff in it. But yeah, it's definitely more of like a thriller drama or something. And then I also, the biggest thing I saw is I saw F9 of the Fast Saga, F9. First movie I've seen in theaters since Bad Boys for Life last year. So, finally got back to the theaters and saw F9. I will say it is probably toward the lower end of the Fast and Furious franchise. It's definitely not top tier Fast and Furious. Like, this is probably more down toward like Fast and Furious, the fourth one, or like Too Fast, Too Furious. And the main thing it drags down is there is way, way, way too much like Dom Jacob backstory. Like, there's so many flashbacks to like young Dom and young Jacob, and it's trying so hard to make it like to like build up like Jacob is like this like
where he been all these years.
Yeah, where he's been, like why they're like estranged, like what, like all this mythology building. It's like they're making it like they're building up this like probably relationship, like it's like fucking like Cain and Abel or something, or like Romulus and Remus. It's like sort of this mythological like Greek tragedy or something. It's so ridiculous and self serious, but it's like there's so much flashbacks. It's like almost after every sequence, there's like a flashback, and they go on for like it's not like a quick flashback either. It's like 5 to 10 minute flashbacks every time. And I feel like you could have got like the gist of like the like why they're like in conflict with each other in like one or two flashbacks, but not the entire movie. Like even like getting to like right before like the climax, like Vin Diesel has like this ridiculous like he's like underwater and he has a flashback where like he's like seeing things from like Jacob's perspective. It's like, oh, I understand my brother now.
Wait, what? Like for his anger or like from like other incidences?
It, yeah, it's like he's like remembering things that, like, but he's like, oh no, I'm remembering him different than like I'm seeing like the actual truth of it now, and like some of the stuff that Jacob said was right.
That like I was a jerk.
Yeah.
But like, okay, so do they share like a father or like?
Yeah. So Jack Toretto, who, if you remember in the first movie, like Vin Diesel, like Dom tells that story about like how his dad like was a race car driver and he crashed and like blew up.
Yeah.
So you see that, like that's how the movie starts, is like you see like that crash, and then basically I guess like spoilers for F9. So if you haven't seen F9, I'll reveal some plot detail stuff. Although it's all fucking ridiculous, so no one really cares. But basically, like, Dom thinks that Jacob like sabotaged their father's car because their father loved Dom more than Jacob. But then also, you also get to see that scene, the event where like Dom like beat that guy to almost to death with a wrench.
Oh, actually, you see it now.
Yeah, and so, but it's like young Dom. So young Dom goes to jail, and then Jacob is like left by himself basically. And kind of like is growing up and like gets into street racing. And then Dom gets out of jail and is like, I know what you did. I know what you did, Jacob. You killed our father. I'm gonna race you. And if you win, you get to stay in the family. But if I win, you gotta leave and never come back. So obviously Dom wins, and then Jacob just like drives off and leaves, and then like becomes like. Apparently gets recruited by Kurt Russell, but then goes rogue, and then like that's like kicks off the whole. This movie is like he attacks Kurt Russell's plane and crashes Kurt Russell's plane. Kurt Russell has like this like Mr. Nobody has like this like piece of tech called like Project Ares, where that can like you launch it into a satellite, and then the satellite can like take over literally every single digital technology in the world. Like it take over every computer, every phone, every car, every nuclear weapon.
Wait, why does he have this one? Is it like Mind's Eye, like 3.0?
It's even more than, like, because Mind's Eye was only like a surveillance thing. This is like, it literally you get control over every piece of electronic equipment in the entire world.
Just like, it's like movie tech, kind of like, I can hack a microwave now.
Yeah, anything that has a digital, anything that it can like hooks to the internet or has a like, digital signal gets taken over by this Project Ares, and like then you basically control the planet because you have like nuclear arsenal under your command. You have like every fighter jet, every military system, every like civilian system. You have like everything. And so there's like half that was on Mr. Nobody's plane, and then the Fast Family and like Jacob are looking for the second half, and there's also like a key that they need to like activate the whole thing. And then Jacob is being like funded by like this like German, like his father's like a like some sort of like warlord or something, and like, but he's like this like rich like aristocrat guy who's like funding him. And they also like they've kidnapped Cypher and made Cypher like a Hannibal Lecter basically. So, like they put her in like this like plastic cube at their base. And then the other big thing, obviously, is like how Han comes back, which the explanation is like pretty disappointing because it's nowhere near as crazy as we thought it was. But it's just kind of stupid. But basically, they retcon where Giselle was a Mr. Nobody agent, like she was working with Mr. Nobody.
Okay.
When she died, like Mr. Nobody found Han was like, "Hey, Giselle trusted you, so now I'm gonna trust you, and you should work for me now." And whatever NSA, CIA, whatever Mr. Nobody like agency he works for, like Han works for him now. And so Han was the person who originally like stole like this Project Ares thing.
Wait, he's been around since that long?
Before Tokyo Drift, it was around.
What?
And then then Mr. Nobody finds out that Deckard Shaw is in Tokyo looking for Han to kill him. And so they fake Han's death. And so that's how Han is still alive.
But they
don't explain how they fake his death. It's just like, oh, Mr. Nobody faked my death. And it's just like, how?
It's how like, did Deckard Shaw just like look at that and was just like, yeah, I killed Han. Like, yeah. Did you?
Yeah, there's no explanation. There's like, it's like, was it a body double? Was it like they put a corpse in a remote control car? Like, how did this happen? And they're just like, eh, Kurt Russell did it. It's fine. Kurt Russell did it. He did a magic trick. It's a magic trick. And then Kurt Russell, like.
Wait, is Deckard Shaw even like in the group in Fast 9? No, right?
No.
Okay. So Hobbs and Shaw are not there.
No.
So I can imagine if Shaw saw that, he'd be like shooting Han, like.
Although there is a mid-credit scene where Deckard Shaw comes back, and then like it ends with like Han, like he opens his door and Han's there, and that's how the movie ends. So I guess it's gonna be like Fast 10 maybe, or is gonna be like the like Han Deckard Shaw face off or like confrontation.
Well, because Deckard Shaw only killed Han to get like, you know, Dom's attention.
Yeah.
But it seems like this crazy plan to do all this. Plus, I still can't figure out how Decker was like hunting Han, right?
Yeah.
By chance with like what's his DK chasing him that night.
Yes.
And then
Kurt Russell figured out the exact planning and I was like, all right, this is the perfect opportunity to like fake your death, Han. but yeah, the movie does not explain how the death is like his death is faked. It's just like he did it. There you go. Han's still alive. That's how he's alive.
Just he's in it. All right, cool.
Yeah.
But Giselle's still dead.
Yes, somehow.
Somehow.
But yeah, I mean, action-wise, I mean, this movie it's still the ridiculous action that you expect from the franchise now. Like, doesn't the opening is like crazy. Obviously, the big thing is like they go into space. They send Roman and Tej into space in a Ford Fiero to like blow up a satellite. Which, the other Tokyo Drift thing is like, so Lucas Black is and like the, so, like that crew, like so Lucas Black, Bow Wow, and then like the other guy, like their like other like Asia friend, the school friend. They're all in Germany now, and they're designing rocket cars. So they left Tokyo, and now they're building rocket cars in Germany. And they're the guys who build, like, the, like, spaceship, rocket car spaceship for the crew.
Okay, it's impressive they can do that, right? Don't get me wrong. But why does it look like such a hack job if they're, like, paid by Mr. Nobody to, like, make a spaceship?
I don't know. I don't think they're paid by, it seems like they're just doing it, like, I don't know who's funding them, or if they're, like, if they just have, like, if they have, like,
tokens. Build one?
They're just building their own rocket cars. Like, I don't know who the hell they're, I don't know if they're working for any company or if they're just, like, it's just they're just doing themselves. It seems like they're just doing themselves because they only have access to, like, shitty cars like Ford Fieros that are just, like, strapping rockets to them. So, it's not like they're working for, like, NASA or something. It's just like, they're just, like...
Yeah, okay, so they're just doing rocket science, like, unlicensed rocket science.
Yeah.
But essentially, a rocket science can make is missiles. Like, mm-hmm. That's another thing that people forget about rocket science. Like, it's missile technology. So these people are just making unlicensed missiles.
Yeah. Oh, and then so a bunch of the action also involves like magnets. So like just someone like the middle and like action sequence, they have like it's like all about like they're like turning on these like super powerful electromagnets on and off, and then it's like repelling cars and throwing cars around. Which I feel like it kind of takes away from the creativity a little bit, because like, it's like kind of like the second and third action sequence are like kind of the same, where it's just like all about the like these like magnets. So that's another thing about like that kind of drags down the movie a little bit, is like it doesn't feel as like creative as like some of the other ones. Like it doesn't have like it's not like the, like I don't know, Fast Five. I think Fast Five and Furious Seven are like the top, probably my top two. And there's nothing in this new one that is like can like top anything that was in like Fast Five or Furious Seven.
Okay, I mean, the Big Brother twist is like, you know, that's kind of cool, but then I feel like it just becomes so secondary to everything else.
Well, it's like John Cena Vin Diesel stuff is secondary because it's all told in like these flashbacks with like the young versions of them.
Oh, do they actually hire like young lookalikes, or are they just like digitally de-aged?
It's younger actors playing them.
Oh,
okay. Like there's in the big like street race where like that's like Dom is like if Jacob loses, like he has to like leave and never come back. There's like the like kid versions of like Mia and like Vince, specifically like Letty. So it's like the Muppet Babies versions of like the Fast and Furious characters. because they're doing it all in flashbacks, like they didn't really get like John Cena and Vin Diesel like do like any like you don't get a lot of them like confronting each other like doing anything. Like, it's mostly just them just like scowling at each other, and who could be the most scowly. And then it's also they're going out of their way to like make it like they're like going to, like these like ridiculous ends to, like make them like oh it's like oh Dom. Jacob anticipated this, but then Dom anticipated that, so then he's gonna anticipate this. Just like trying to like make it so it's like oh they're equal masterminds against each other, so like no neither of them have the upper hand. Like I feel like there's one scene where like Dom finds out like Jacob's in London for looking for this other like piece of Project Ares, and so he finds Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren like is like driving around, is like, oh yeah, I sold a bunch of guns to your brother, and then she's like, oh, but also he paid me to like deliver you to him. So Dom ends up at this like mansion where it looks like a cult, where it's just like all these like models in like white dresses, it's like dancing on cars.
Okay, what?
There's like no men. It's just all these like women in the same dress, like in all these like white clothing. It looks like some sort of like vampire cult or something. So then, Dom goes into like Dom goes in and like talks to Jacob, and then has like this face off, and then like they do like this thing where like Dom like pulls off like dearms Jacob with gun, and then when Jacob pulls out another gun. They're like, oh, hit, like Jacob's partner Otto is like, oh, you know, my father is because I'm the son of like a like German like whatever his explanation is, but it's basically like, oh, so this like this building is basically an embassy, and you've trespassed on this embassy, so now I called Interpol on you, and so Dom gets arrested by Interpol, but then it turns out the Interpol agents are Cardi B and her team of model mercenaries. So it's like Jacob. It's like how did they both of them anticipate like these like moves against each other? Like Dom knew that he was gonna get arrested by Interpol, so he had the Cardi B dressed like Interpol agents. But then
it's like an Ocean's 11 plot gone out of control now.
Yeah, it's like how do they either of them plan any of this? Like Jacob, why didn't Jacob just kill Dom? Like why was he like gonna like.
Does he actually want to kill Dom, or it's more like punishment? I can't figure that out.
He's trying to prove that he is better than Dom because he always felt like lesser than Dom because his dad was like, because Dom was always Dom could like see things on the racetrack and like he knew cars better. So their dad like favored Dom more than Jacob. So now like John Cena Jacob's like, well, I gotta prove I'm better than Dom. That I'm the best, like, secret agent race car driver in the world or whatever.
Yeah, but, like, Dom's public, like a race car driver. John Cena is so, like, international spy that, like, even if he wanted to be popular, he couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's... there's so much stuff going on. I don't know if you need to rush out to see it. I mean, like something like this, like it like you do kind of want to see it on the big screen because it's like the action is so like ridiculous. But like it's also like not, it's definitely like lower end Fast and Furious. So like I don't, it's like you probably could wait until it's on like Blu-ray or something and watch it at home or something. But hopefully with like now that was like Jacob like drama is out of the way. Hopefully, maybe like 10 or 11 will like be just be like kind of straightforward nonsense to finish the franchise out. Because yeah, that like just it's like you have like a crazy like ridiculous action sequence, and it's just like it's like 10 to 50 minutes of like a super self serious melodramatic back flashback that like kills the pacing and kills like you're like, oh geez, I gotta sit through this stuff. Like I get it. Dom is better.
And they should just do something even crazier. Just do, like, a weightlifting contest or something.
But, yeah. So, F9, mixed. it's a pretty good movie. Like, if you haven't been to the theater in a while, it's a good one to go back and see in a theater, just for, like, the action and stuff, but... If you're a Fast and Furious fan, you might be like slightly disappointed by this one. It's definitely like toward the bottom.
Okay.
And then last thing I saw is I finally saw Nobody.
Oh, the, okay. The actual John Wick knockoff.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, written by Derek Colson, wrote John Wick. Directed by the guy who directed Hardcore Henry. So, okay. Yeah, Nobody is awesome. I don't know if you seen it yet, Chris.
Yeah, but I do want to see it, so let's not get spoilerific on this one.
Yeah, I won't reveal too much about it, but like, it's definitely one of the better like kind of John Wick imitators, like us, like whatever the genre that John Wick is now.
I think it's a John Wick esque. Yeah. Feel like it's not Die Hard, but yet, you know what I mean? Like that's a genre, Die Hard, but
John Wick, but
yeah, because this one is. Like very similar to John Wick, where the butt isn't quite there yet.
Yeah, it doesn't have like the world building of like John Wick, where like there is some world building, but there's no like continental or anything. It's not like that level. But there's this kind of underworld stuff and like backstory stuff of Bob Odenkirk. Yeah, the action is all awesome. Like, it's just like, as you're watching it, you're kind of like, you're just like, can Bob Walker really like get these action sequences or like kick someone's ass? And then, like, you see the first action sequence where like he like fights a bunch of guys on a bus, and you're just like, oh man, okay, Bob Walker kick people's asses. And the, yeah, that first bus fight is just like so brutal. It just keeps going, and like. Bob Odenkirk is just getting like wrecked, and then like the other guys are getting wrecked, and it's just like it's sort of like that first season Daredevil fight where this is like the hallway fight where it's just like they're just like so tired to like fight each other by the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like that, and then like there's like some awesome like shootouts at the end, like toward like later on, and like a cool car chase thing, like car chase with like some cool stuff that you haven't really seen before in a car chase. So. It's definitely super awesome. If you're like John Wick or like action at all, it's like it's a must watch. And then like just like much like Christopher Lloyd gets in on the action at some point too, which is awesome.
Which is a late addition to the trailer because he wasn't in any of the theatrical ones, and then he shows up in like the DVD or like the like you know when it's coming to Blu-ray stuff.
And also like RZA is in there.
I saw that. There was a clip of him like wielding a shot, like a sniper rifle indoors.
Yeah.
I saw that a lot. That was posted like everywhere in Facebook ads.
Oh, and then like, yeah, the main bad guy is also great. Cause I think he was the bad guy in like Hardcore Henry. I think he works with like the director a lot. Like Ilya Naishuler is the director. But yeah, he's like a great like Russian mobster guy. Like he's he's like at his club. And he like goes on stage and they're singing and like is like very like over the top and like just doing shots and like it's like it's my club, yeah. And then he finds out what happened with like because something related to like what Bob Odenkirk did like is like related to him. So then he's like, oh, okay, I gotta go deal with this now.
Does he know how to mix business and pleasure, or is it more like he's business all the time?
Well, the big MacGuffin thing is that he is in charge of the Russian mafia's basically keep all their money in like this one collection called like the like Obersha or something. And so like this like Yulian, who's like the main like bad guy, is he's the person like who has like guard it and like. Is in charge of, like moving it to like next person, so like he thinks at first like this it's like related to that, like he thinks like someone is trying to like get like all this like Russian mafia money, but it's actually just like a weird like a just like crazy coincidence that like Bob Roper just happened to like attack someone that was like related to like the Russian mob on the bus. So
really, because it seemed like it was a bunch of like Death Wish rejects.
Yeah, it's one of the guys on the bus is related to the main bad guy, and but then like the Russian mob was like Yuli and the main bad guy is like, oh, this must be related to like because I have all this money for the Russian mob, and then
like
and
a it's money just vault, like, right?
But yeah, but it's just a crazy coincidence that like spirals out of control. So and it's also the thing too like Bob Odenkirk's character has been he's just been trying to like repress like this like like. Crazy like assassin side of himself for like years, but then like his like normal life is like wearing down on him, like he's just, it's like the same thing every day, every week, and then like his family is like not like respecting him or giving him like his wife is like his wife like builds like a wall of pillows between them in bed and stuff. So it's like he's just like is like the grind of like his like suburban life kind of gets to him. He just unleashes like his like crazy like assassin side finally. He's been trying to like repress.
So his wife never knew he was like a secret like John Wick.
No, it's basically what John Wick was trying to do, where he's just like I'm gonna quit being assassin and just like live like this normal life. And so like Bob Odenkirk like. Touch like Bob Odenkirk, like he's done it for like 12 years, but then it just finally gets because like some people like break into his house, and he has the chance to like take like he grabs like a golf club and is like And you find out later, like, he could have just murdered them, like, horribly in a couple seconds. But then he kind of holds off because he's like, I'm a normal guy now. I'm not going to do this. But then that kind of, like, frustrates me more because everyone's just like, why don't you do something? Like, why are you still a loser? Why don't you do something? You could have taken them.
Jesus Christ. Like, his friends and family suck.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that all kind of, like, builds up, and he's just like, I gotta take this out on someone. And then these drunken assholes get on the bus, and it's like, all right, this is the perfect time to, like, unleash my, like, anger. Yeah.
It was really just, like, it was, like, bound to happen. You know, mm-hmm. like, his world yeah. was beating him, and then this happened.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it seems crazy where
how crazy and deadly he actually is. It's just like, but it's a must watch. Like, if you're a fan of, like, action stuff, like, it's all the action's awesome in it. You, by the end of it, you will believe that Bob Odenkirk is like can like just kill people, and he definitely like. It seemed crazy when they first announced it, but, like, by the end of this movie, you're like, oh, yes, Bob Odenkirk is a badass. So, yeah, I think you can just, it's not premium video on demand anymore. It's just a normal rental now or buy. So definitely check it out if you get a chance. And that's pretty much what I've been watching this week, so we can wrap things up. Definitely head over to the site. We got a bunch of stuff up there. Speaking of Fast and Furious stuff, we got our Tokyo Drift commentary up there if you want to check that out. And we got a new one coming up sometime later this month for July. We got something, another commentary coming up. So keep an eye out for that, and then check back on all the other past commentaries we've done. And all usual regular features up there as well, so check out all of our weekly, daily features that go up on the site. And so for Chris, I'm Zach, and we will see you next week.
For more Everything Action, head to www.everythingaction.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at EVAction, on Facebook by searching for Everything Action, and follow us on Instagram at everything.action. You can also subscribe and get more episodes on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.